Our scripture lesson for today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 1203 of your pew Bible. But before we read today's passage, let's take time for a word of prayer. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, we've come to hear your word. Help us to bear it. Break down in us all that resists your will, and plant in us a willingness to turn, for we would live, we would be your disciples. By your Spirit, come to us now in ancient texts, in everyday visions, in the need of our neighbor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you a message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious and loving Lord, you have shaped us into being. You have shown us a way forward. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to shape us in ways that we are unexpected, beyond our imagination, so that we may be used to further your kingdom in this world. Bless this time together and bless the words of my mouth that they may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So twice a year or so, my family and I take a trip back to my home state of Virginia to see my parents and my siblings. More often than and to do that, as you many of you know, you have to traverse the great and beautiful Appalachian Mountains to get there, where my grandfather grew up. Now, more often than not, as we're driving, we try to plan our stops, where we're going to be. So we oftentimes will take a stop at this place called the Best of West Virginia, Tamarack. You know it. You've been there. And I'm not talking about that horrible little plaza down there with Burger King and Starbucks with the weird stinky bathrooms. I'm talking about that really cool, pointy, circular building up on the hill that is a showcase for different artists with plenty of pretty things for toddlers to destroy and to put in their pockets or to throw around the place. Now, this building is pretty interesting. It was built many years ago now. Not many, but it's been around a while. And when they built this building, they intentionally built into the sides of this building art studios, working art studios, so that when you go to Tamarack and you walk through this circular building, you see these giant glass windows, and you go up to them, and you notice that there is an art studio down below. And if you're lucky, when you go, you will actually see an incredible wide array of artists at work. Glass blowers, woodworkers, ceramics. I read even right now they have painters using that studio who come and do paintings there. And if you're lucky, like I said, you will be able to go and see an artist laboring away at their craft, and you can sit there and observe the creative process. Now, I don't know how many of you are artists, though I would suspect most of you are in your own way. But watching these artists engage in the wild, untamed creative process is one of the most fascinating experiences one can have. It's part technical, right? Because it's like they've developed the skill that they can do. It's also part improv, because sometimes they have to kind of make changes on the fly. And it's part intense determination, all mingling together to birth a piece of art into the world. They have to take this vision that they have in their head, this idea that they have, and they have to bring it into the world, make it a real and tangible object. And it's a messy process to get there. As many of you know who are artists, it's not that easy. Revisions, restarts, sometimes completely starting over, even throwing up your arms and going out for a walk to clear your mind, sometimes has to happen when you're in the business of making art. The creative process is a windy, challenging, sometimes painful, and most times frustrating journey to create something new. So when Jeremiah is called to the potter's house in chapter 18, the writer is making a direct metaphor that God is actually an artist. Now, it's not a metaphor we employ very often, I admit. There are many other metaphors we like to use of God. But we do know that God is an artist. In fact, when we look at Genesis chapter 1, we see here where God shapes into existence creation with all the birds in the air, the creepy, crawly things in the dirt, and the leviathans of the sea. Yet in seeing God as the first of all artists and creation as God's eternal canvas, we are offered a vision of God's intense love for us. So, like any artist who sits down to bring art into the world, we realize that God is not indifferent towards God's creation, but deeply invested in the work that God does, right? That God shapes and creates and shapes with intention and purpose, that we are not cast off. We are not the $5 for $5 bargain bin at the Pottery Barn, right? That when God is at work shaping our lives together, it is done so that we may all flourish, that we all may be a blessing to others. Scholar Sally Brown states that God means to shape us for purposes that exceed our vision and imagination. That if God is an artist, and if we are the canvas, that we are being shaped into existence, God's vision for us, then we can recognize for the first time that all of us are God's labor of love. And I think that's so important to think about that, right? You guys have been playing with this Play-Doh. Like, I think about, like, if you took time and really effort and you said, I want to make something, like, that is a labor of love. You are intensely focused on that work. I think about, so I do a few things. My art is different than like my sister or my brother's art, but I like to edit videos, and obviously I write sermons for you all on Sunday. I see this as somewhat of an art form because I'm always writing. When I am in the midst of editing a video, I am intensely focused. Ann will tell you that right now. Ann will say, you can't even hear me. I can't even hear anyone else. I want to get every frame exactly how it's going to be, exactly how it should be, so that it's done. And when I'm writing a sermon, I'm the same way. I will sit in my office on Sundays, and some of you have come and seen me while I'm trying to write a sermon, and you'll see how frustrating that process can be oftentimes. But I'm frustrated because I want to get it right. I want to hear what God is saying through this passage to each and every one of you. So think about that. Think about that intensity you bring to something that you're trying to create, something that you are good at. Think about that intense focus and think, God does that for each and every one of you. Does that for this community. Is intently focused on shaping and forming us so that we all may flourish. That's kind of incredible. Like, what? Think of God putting that kind of work in our community here. Shaping, forming, reforming, cutting, putting work in the work so that we may flourish. We have a God who's very busy. Busy at work shaping us. So when we read Jeremiah about inflicting disaster upon Israel, right? That's what Jeremiah says to the Israelites, that God says. We might hear it from the context of this creative process. Any artist knows that there is a certain violence inherent in creating in everyone's creative process. Remember William Faulkner's quote, "In writing, you must kill all your darlings," right? Kill your darlings. In a book I was reading this week, the author was talking about how his wife would knit for hours only to find a problem and would unravel all the hours of work that she had done knitting. My sister will paint over a piece that didn't turn out the way she intended it just so she can reuse the canvas. Kendra, I suspect that when you were making those flowers, you were putting together those arrangements, you had to do some violence to the stems of those flowers, right? There's an inherent violence to art in the creative process. And think about it. If God is engaged in the creative process for all of us, then there will be times when what we were is no longer possible. Is no longer sustainable. What was can no longer be, so that God can shape us into something new, something beautiful. Disaster, the word God uses in Jeremiah, sounds harsh. But for us, think of it as a surrender to what God needs us to leave behind so that we may embrace the new thing that is before us. Now you may be saying, okay, Gray, well, if God is such a great artist, why didn't God get it right the first time? Why do we need to keep being reformed and reshaped so often? I feel like I've been put through the wringer. I'm done being reformed and reshaped. Now, you find it interesting in the text that they don't tell us why the clay was marred in the potter's hands. It just was. But later on, God says that creation is marred because when we, the created, commit ourselves to the evil of the world, the violence of the world, when we commit ourselves to being selfish instead of committing ourselves to the flourishing that God intends for us, we find ourselves marred, ruined. And God doesn't have to allow that marring that happens to stay that way. But God is free and does freely reshape us. Reform us again and again and again, until God finds this beautiful balance of love and grace in our lives. And you all know these people that have to go through this reshaping all the time. And maybe you are that person too, where it feels like you have to continually be reshaped and reformed. And sometimes it feels exhausting. But what we learn in this text today is that it's actually God shaping you for something great. Something amazing. A love that you cannot even fathom. A love that you can't even imagine. To do great things. God doesn't give up on God's creation, but continues the creative process in all of us. And this is what's great about this metaphor of God as artists. Our relationship with God is not a static thing, but dynamic, constantly shifting, changing shape. We have this vision of an immutable God who is stuck in one mode forever and ever. Amen. But we learn that if God is an artist, we know this isn't true, at least in the way that we interact with God. God is flexible. God's a really good improviser, because God will take what we throw at God and shift it and change it and take our limitations of our bodies and our minds and put them to use in unexpected and wonderful ways. God is capable of change, shifting direction according to the circumstances and brokenness that we all have and we experience. What a wonderful hope for Rally Day, where we celebrate the opportunities to shape our minds through education. We are never simply a broken vessel that God has abandoned, no matter how lost you may feel. In fact, in those times of loneliness, pain, and suffering, perhaps that is the time in which God is reshaping us into something new, leaving behind that which no longer works or oppresses us. So today I ask you to embrace the good creature that God has made each and every one of you, because you have been lovingly formed by God. And then see what new vision God may be shaping for you next. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.